Welcome to the Esports Economics Podcast. I'm your host, Tommy Clark, and on this podcast, we break down business strategy and marketing for business owners and creators in the gaming and esports industries. What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode here on the Esports Economics Podcast. I'm your host, Tommy Clark, and today I'm interviewing my good friend, Kerneel, over at Sense of Quality. He does stream optimizations, PC optimizations, internet optimization, pretty much at this point, everything optimizations for a bunch of pro Call of Duty players and gamers in general. And what we're going to be doing on today's interview is breaking down exactly how he started that business and how he's been able to grow from ground zero to working with the Dallas Empire, who won the Call of Duty championship last season. So quite the rise for him. He continues to just gain momentum and momentum and momentum. So you're going to learn a ton from this interview. And if you enjoy it, of course, be sure to drop a five-star rating and review down below. I would really appreciate that. And also, if you enjoy it, be sure you share it with a friend, whether it be on your Twitter timeline, via text, however you want to share it. I would really appreciate that. And that's the best way to say thank you if you do happen to enjoy this episode. So I appreciate you doing that. And last but not least, if you want more content like this in video format, be sure you check out the YouTube channel in the description below or in the show notes below. Right now, there's two videos up on there and been getting great feedback. So I would love for you to check those out. Let me know what you think. And with that being said, let's get into today's interview with Kerneel. All right. And we are live. I am super excited for this one. This interview has the potential to be the best interview on the podcast yet. So no pressure, Kerneel, but there is kind of pressure there. But dude, yeah. I'm hopping on the show. I'm really excited to get this one going.
Same, man. Same. So it's been long.
I know. We've been going back and forth on Twitter for it feels like at least a couple months now. So I feel like I already know you, but this is our first time actually sitting down and talking. So I'm excited to get into everything we're going to discuss today. But as we're getting into it, just kind of give everyone who might not know who you are. There's probably more people watching this that don't know who I am than don't know who you are. But if anyone doesn't know who you are that's watching the stream right now, give them an idea of who you are and what you do.
My name is Kerneel. I optimize basically everything. I'm the founder of Sense of Quality. So basically what we do, first we started off with internet optimizations. We optimize just almost every single professional Call of Duty player's internet. But then we expanded into PC optimizations, audio optimizations, basically the whole spiel. So anything with optimizing your game, optimizing just your comfort in general too, we do that too. Mm-hmm. And optimizing your stream, that's what we basically do at Sense of Quality.
Dope. So like you said, you're doing internet optimization and just general optimization for damn near every player in the CDL. So I'm curious to know, how did you get into that? Who was the first CDL player you worked with and how did that come to be?
So that's an interesting story. So I believe the first CDL players I worked with was actually on the Seattle Surge. It was Pander and Proto. And okay, how it basically started was I'll start from the beginning. So basically, nobody wanted optimization at the beginning. With everything that you do, you always fail at the beginning, of course. So what happened was I was I watched a Gary Vee video, mm-hmm, and he said, if it's really valuable, do it for free. So I'm you know what? Let me just try for free. And then what I did was I made a tweet. I'm like, you know what? Anybody that likes and retweets this gets a free optimization, network optimization, and I'll do it for completely free. All I'm asking in return is for you to do just an honest review on it. And then from there, that point on, it basically blew up. And it got to the point where it went from just the general player base and regular people to players that are trying to go pro in the Challengers events. And then it surged on to actual pro players. And then it actually got crazy that same year that we actually did before COD champs or CDL champs, we did, mm-hmm, just the championship team. Before that, they didn't even know who basically who I was. And Clayster, I believe, called me up. He's yo, you mind just checking to see if our internet's okay? and it was basically Dallas Empire. I'm like, whoa, okay, like, okay, I'll definitely, like, do that, bro. So what happened after that is COD, of course, like, went online due to, like, the pandemic and stuff. Every recession's an opportunity. Like, yeah. So basically, COD went into due to the pandemic, and so they went online and stuff like that. And basically, Dallas Empire just, at champs, they just ran through, like, almost everybody. So
now, in your opinion, how much of that do you think was the internet? Like, do you think it made a big difference?
So I'm not going to take the whole credit for that, because of course, like, it's Clayster, for sure. Krimzix, Shotzi, the MVP of the league, Illy. So they were already good players, like, in general, but everybody like was really doubting them. And I'm not sure why, because they're like, basically before it went online, they were probably one of the top LAN teams, but, everybody thought it was like FaZe and, Atlanta FaZe and Optic that was going to win Call of Duty Champs. So I think it did make a difference, but it's not probably not as much, not like the complete difference. So definitely there's still talented players and stuff like that. Yeah. So
yeah, I respect that. I respect that, because it definitely does make a difference, but I respect that you're not like, oh, like, I won.
Yeah, them. I won them champs.
I know some people would do that. Some people would come in and make, like, the 1% difference. I'm like, oh, yep, that was just
that was it.
Krimzix, Clayster, nah, they're scrubs. It was me that won them that. I love that.
Just put me on the team. Like,
there you go. But going back to when you first started, though, you had mentioned that at first, before you got that boost of momentum, when you got some looks from pro players, you're hearing a lot of no's. Did you ever get to a point where you were like this close to quitting? Did that ever cross your mind? Or were you just like, nah, I know this is good. I know this is valuable. So I'm going to just keep going. That thought never even crossed your mind.
So basically, what happened was I learned all like this optimization stuff just out of just pure curiosity, because I live in like a college dorm and our internet wasn't the best, right? So I was doing everything possible just to make the internet better. And out of just like the knowledge I gained from that, like that's where everything came from. But there was, I've never expected it to like blow up like this. This is more than I could have dreamed of. But there was that thought, I believe before I did the free like technique, I was like, you know what, let me just focus on like my degree and stuff like that. Let me focus on school, and because this is just not working. I did like two tweets before that asking for probably 10% of what like the cost is now, and people just didn't believe in it, because in a business I realized that reputation is crucial, like, to every single aspect. So I didn't have a reputation. I honestly didn't deserve to like have this opportunity take place at that point in time. I had to prove myself. So before, at that point, it did have just that downfall momentum, but just at the end of it, it just ended up working out when I just took a chance on myself and I was just like, you know what, let's just prove that I could do this. And then, like, from there, it took off.
Love it. And my next question on that is, like you said, you did have that boost momentum when you did get into the pro scene. And a lot of business owners and people just on social media in general, they have one video go viral, but they can't sustain it. Or they have a big break, but they don't have the infrastructure. They don't have the systems to sustain it. Were there any challenges like that when you got all these pro players hitting you up, when you got now more visibility on the internet, people hitting you up to get optimizations? Were there any issues with, I can't keep up with this, or things falling through the cracks, or was it mostly a smooth process?
Oh, of course. It was like so many. I probably learned from my like failures and mistakes this past year in 2020 more than I did from like the previous 5 years of just like just being in school and stuff like that. Because when I was like doing it, you had to be extremely, especially in esports, the volatility can like be take you like a long way. So it's either, oh, you could have a reputation of like, oh, this guy is the guy, or you could have a reputation of, oh, this guy, it doesn't work, just don't like go to this guy. So literally, like, the challenge was that every internet or everybody's internet is literally different. Your internet right now is different than your neighbor's, like, internet. It would be a completely different setup for him based on his needs, based on what he finds is quality. Because you might want internet tuned to have, like, a perfect quality stream, for example, and perfect quality gameplay, and have your gameplay be prioritized. But he might want, for example, internet for just working in general, or just pure content creation. So he wants like a better upload speed or something like that. So the challenge was just the challenge wasn't really just the information. It was understanding what people valued. And from that, that's where the real like quality like came in. So basically, I always ask before my optimizations, what do you want out of this? Like, what's like your major, what like is successful to you to the end of this optimization? And people will list out exactly what they want. And no matter what it is in that, I'll get it done. So that's basically what we do regarding that. And that was really challenging at first, because at first, like, this is of course like my first business ever. So at first, a lot of people make the mistake of focusing on themselves or like what I find valuable, rather than like what you as like the consumer or you as like a client finds valuable. So I really had to learn that going like throughout all the steps and stuff like that. So that was probably one of the most important lessons and mistakes I learned coming to this point. But after, it was a good thing I like made that mistake, because now I could use that to my advantage and I learned from it. So that gives me like an edge over like competitors and stuff like that. So it's really nice. And I get like people's things really, they get really happy at the end. So that's all like I really need from them.
Love that. And that last point you brought up of listening to your client versus listening to what you want. Like, you might think, oh, this is the best way to do it, I'm gonna do it this way, this is like, this is what you need. But without listening to the client, you're missing out on an opportunity there. And I think in the gaming and esports space especially, there's this like need to be like the main character and like to be the hero, so to speak, and get all the clout, get all the fame and recognition. And in that, you're losing sight of the audience. Whether or not you're providing a service like you are, within your situation, it's fairly obvious, because you need to help clients get their internet right. That's what they're paying you to do. But even in a content creator's shoes, you can get kind of stuck in this space of thinking that you're the main focus and like you're the most important piece of the entire equation. But if you're not focused on the audience and what they want to see from you, it's going to be tough to grow. And that's why you see a lot of content creators like stuck in the same spot, because they're not actually giving, they think they're giving their audience what they want, but they're actually selfishly just making content that they think is interesting. So I'm really glad you brought that last point up.
Yeah, literally, I actually have a funny story about that. Before the CDL switch, so the CDL, after just like the online COD champs and all that stuff, switched to PC, for example, and everybody switched from like worrying about their internets and stuff like that to worrying about their PCs on Warzone, Cold War and stuff. So I had a choice. I could have either stick with like the internet thing. It would have been extremely easy. I could have just make easy money to the side like that, or I could have just evolved like just as a person and just as a business. So what I chose, which was probably the hardest thing that like we've done so far, what I chose was to go in the direction of PC optimizations, for example. So instead of just offering like network optimizations, I'm like, the next like evolution was, okay, so we could do your internet and we could do like your PC as well, like for Warzone and stuff like that. And that really like just evolving to the market really and evolving to what people want is probably the number one thing like for a business to do, I feel like. Because a lot of big businesses, what people don't realize is, as like little guys like you and me, a lot of big businesses, they're big, yeah. They have a lot of market space, but they're extremely slow at like adapting and stuff like that. So for example, like you as like a content creator, you could adapt on like the fly like that. You could switch up your content like that. Yes, in the short term, you're going to lose because I know a lot of content creators, what their general strategy is clickbait, boom, get your attention for that short period of time, but the rest of the videos basically fluff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you took the time to actually like put the effort into your content to make the whole 10 minutes actually valuable, then in the long run, you're going to win in general over like the people that just do, oh, let me just put this clickbait here and just like rant for like 2 minutes, and then 8 minutes is just basically nothing, you know what I mean? So that's where I think a lot of content creators like get it wrong, and it's tough, man. Like I think content creation is basically one of the toughest. It's one of the toughest things to do out of like basically anything, any field. Content creation, it's really saturated, and it's real tough. Like, oh man, I can't even believe.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to the saturated point, it's saturated with average content. I think if, like we're talking about, if you can find a way to position yourself or your business or your content in a way that's unique, then suddenly mm-hmm. it's not saturated anymore because now you're doing something that nobody else is replicating. But if you're doing the same clickbait thumbnail and title that you're talking about, yeah, of course, it's going to be very difficult. And not to mention mm-hmm. that's really hard to optimize for search in YouTube. But I'm curious to know from your perspective, when you kind of made that pivot, when you noticed that people wanted the PC optimizations instead of just general network optimizations, how did you come to that conclusion? Were you like paying attention on social media? Do you have people mm-hmm. asking you for it directly? I'm curious because that way people can understand like how they kind of go about applying this. So if there's no specific answer there, no worries. But I'm just curious, was there anything specific that popped up? You're like, oh, shoot, I should probably make this switch.
Actually, that's a really good question. Oh, God dang. This guy's questions are just like perfect. So basically what happened was a lot of the professional players at the time, they're switching to PC. Nobody knew that like the CDL would make that pivot, right? And all like the pro players were like basically switching from like a console that they've been on for years, probably like 10 years or more, to just an advanced machine in general. So a lot of them, when I was doing their internet and like optimizing their streams and stuff like that, what happened was they would always ask like a question, and even like my normal clients would ask a question about their PCs. It's like, oh, why am I not getting like this kind of FPS? Do you know? Why am I, how do I like record this while still like maintaining my FPS and stuff like that? So it was a whole bunch of PC specific questions. And obviously like you can try to like Google something, and of course like you'll gain the knowledge after a time, but a lot of people just don't have the time, first of all, to learn like a whole like study about like optimizing like a PC and stuff like that. And a lot of people don't want to take the risk of like blowing, you could literally blow up your system by like trying to optimize it. But from that, just listening to them and having just a personal relationship with them, I feel like that's one of the edges like that we have like over other optimizers. I always try to have like a personal relationship with my client just so I can know what they want more, and just so I can make them happy to the end of it, like in general. So from having that personal relationship, I would say, which was literally the key, I knew that, this is going to be like the next market probably, or this is going to be like the next big opportunity. And literally, I have to research and get this done now and learn all this stuff so I could hone it and make sure that I'm the guy to come to, like, for PC optimizations, you know what I mean? So literally, I feel like that was the big thing, just listening to them in general and not being like, oh, I'm only doing, like, I'm only an internet guy, bro. Like, what do you mean? Just taking that opportunity, taking that risk, and just sacrificing, just to like get into like new market spaces like that. Cause I lost, oh man, I can't even tell you how much I lost. Like instead of doing like internet optimizations and doing like people's internet optimizations at that time, at that switch, I basically stated, oh, I'm not going to do, you know what? I'm not going to do optimizations from this time to this time per day. I'm going to be in the textbooks studying like peer-reviewed journals and information and stuff like that to make sure I know this like the back of my hand. And from then on, then I'll be like set in the long run. And it actually paid off, and I'm just grateful for that. So literally just listening and just like hearing just key words in general, whatever they ask for is repeatedly is like another market to like go into. So I feel like that was like the major thing.
Love that. Now, looking at your tweets, every once in a while, I'll see a response. It's kind of trolly, but they think they have validity to it, but they usually go like, but why can't I just learn this myself? Like, why can't I just Google it and everyone can just like do it themselves? Like, what is your response to someone who thinks like that?
So at first, that made me really frustrated because as just like a new person, like just learning business for the first time, I was like, what is this guy talking about? Like, okay, just go learn it yourself then. But then I realized, I'm like, okay, you could go learn it yourself. Like, go ahead. And if you want to spend that, like, what, 100+ hours, like 5 nights in a row, like just studying all that information to get it perfect, you can go ahead. Nobody's stopping you and nobody's like making you buy this product. But just know, like, at the end of it, I'm just here to help you. So if you run into a fall or something like that, I actually encourage you, like, if you're trying to learn, like, just to ask me questions and I'll just help you along the way. And just having that, like, switch in mindset from, like, being mad to just trying to just help regardless, it actually opened up, like, a lot of opportunities. For example, like, a guy was trying to learn and he ran into, like, he was trying to learn it himself. I gave him some help. And at the end, he still, like, got a service from me just because like I just helped him at the end. And the real like key I learned about that is like, yeah, you can have those people that say that, oh, this isn't worth it for this. But a lot of people, like you for example, your time is more valuable to you than spending 40 hours trying to learn about like PCs and stuff like that. There's
no way that I'm spending that time learning about PCs. If I ever need like that,
you
can
use your time. Exactly. You can use your time so much more valuable to master your craft, and that will save you in the long run rather than worrying about a short term game, for example. So anytime like somebody says that to me, like, I'm really just not, I'm not fazed by it. I'm actually trying to help them. So if they needed any help in general, if they needed resources to like even learn it, like go ahead. I encourage like that everybody tries to learn something or tries to like master a craft like that. But for most people, like Call of Duty players, like they just don't have time to like learn all that stuff. Basically, they scrim for like 10 hours a day, I think.
Yeah.
And they have to stream and they have to do all of this stuff. So for people like that and for people like you and stuff like that, like it's more valuable for them to like focus on their craft instead of like just learning just a side like craft like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this next thing isn't really even a question, but I mean, just an observation. Like the problem you're solving is so clear and like so apparent and so painful for players because it's painful to lag out of a game or to feel like you lost champs because your internet was crap. So yeah, it's just like, it, again, this wasn't really a question, but I think just highlighting the fact that if you can, as a business owner, or even a content creator, content creators are business owners, but you know what I mean there. If you can highlight a pain point, something that really is bothering your target audience and help them fix it,
yes,
bro, it's game over. Like, now you just got to get results, which leading to that next actual question, I would assume based on like what I see, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of your clients come from word of mouth because you're just really good at what you do. So people naturally refer, say, hey, Kernil's the PC optimization, internet optimization guy. He's your guy. Like I see people replying to just random threads on Twitter tagging you. I've done it too. Like I need my PC optimized. What should I do? Oh, tag Kernil. Like now you're that guy and you don't even spend money on ads and stuff. And now you just have clients walking in your door.
That's actually something I wanted to talk to you about because, like just from a content perspective, I learned, first of all, that you're supposed to always focus on, like, I think they're called discovery platforms, like YouTube, TikTok, stuff like that, where you can, like, get discovered faster and stuff like that. And everybody always, like, downputs, like, destination platforms like Twitch, Twitter, and stuff like that. But there's really what I realized from my perspective is, first of all, I'm crazy for, like, trying to, like, grow a business on Twitter. That's probably, don't do that, guys. That's probably, like, the hardest thing, like, to do. But literally, I realized that if you do get success from it, people, like, there's some kind of key, like, ingredient from, like, destination platforms, because people are more in, like Don said in the podcast, which is really amazing. Mm-hmm. He said that, like, this is like a group chat, like, for gamers, streamers, like, content creators, and everybody. And on Twitter, if you grow a business on any kind of destination platform in general, you'll get more personal relationships, first of all. And second of all, like, it's less ad spend in general. I don't even think I spent one single penny on ads. I did. So that's, like, one thing about it. But of course, like, I'm going to grow it to, like, discovery platforms to the end of it. But there's really, like, something, I don't know, maybe you could explain that, something about, like, Twitter or Twitch or, like, Discord and stuff like that, which makes people, like, more close-knit and makes word of mouth so much more, and reputation, of course, so much more valuable.
Yeah, I love Twitter just for that reason. It's so much easier to build personal connections, and it's not really left up to chance. Like, you have to put in effort to go reply to people and engage on tweets and,
exactly,
and put yourself out there. Like, it's not very, in my opinion, putting out content on Twitter, like putting out videos and putting out informational posts, those do well. There's a place for that, but that's not the main benefit. The main benefit is being in replies, sending DMs, like actually sending legitimate, don't spam people. Do not.
Yeah, don't.
This is that, please. But like engaging with people in your community, that's why Twitter is extremely valuable. And I kind of hold the hot take that I don't think TikTok's overrated, but I don't think it's as needed as people make it out to be, because as long as you're consistent and you're adding value on whatever platform you're on, whether it is TikTok, whether it is Twitter, whether it is Instagram and Facebook, or a little iffy. I mean, you kind of have to right now. But I mean, even there, if you engage and you're actually adding legitimate value, you can do well. But I think for you on Twitter, it makes sense because your audience is there. The entire COD community and the entire gaming community is very active on there. It makes it a lot easier to interact with you one-on-one. And then, I mean, as far as Twitch, it's pretty much like you're just talking to your chat. Your chat feels like they're friends with you. They feel like they know you without even having to meet you. So because they have that close relationship, and Twitch being a live platform allows it to go a lot deeper, it helps put you in a position where whenever they need a service, it might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, it might not be a week from now, but whenever they do, your top of mind. So I think for you, Twitter and Twitch makes perfect sense. Eventually, like you said, scaling to different platforms, just it makes sense. If you can be there and your audience is active on there, why not? But that's my take on that. I know I just said a mouthful there, but does that make sense?
Yeah, because TikTok, I feel like the value in TikTok is engagements, of course, but the real value in TikTok is not just the engagements themselves. It's transitioning or like diversifying like those engagements. So for example, like someone on TikTok, like that's huge. If they could diversify like those engagements to like Twitch or like multiple platforms like Twitch, Twitter, Instagram and stuff like that, then that's where like discovery platforms are like, you just can't beat them like that. But definitely there's really, really like a need for Twitter, because I feel like Twitter is like, Twitter to me is the platform where you can actually spend your time. How many characters can you do in a tweet? I think it's like 250 or something.
I think now
like
it's 240. It used to be 180. 240? Yeah, they upped it to 240.
Yeah, so you can actually go into a good amount of detail with people instead of like making, I got to stick within like this 60 seconds, or YouTube, I got to stick within like this 10 minutes of like information. And that's like actually that's where I like give it to content creators again, because that's hard. Like having to just recognize that within how many minutes? I believe 1 minute or like 10 minutes. That's huge, man. Like that actually takes time and that takes effort. So credits to them. But Twitter is just that one platform where it's just like, okay, you could diversify, you could expand on it, and in general, you could just have a great time and just talk to your clients in general. So definitely know what you mean by that. And we're just having technical difficulties here. Guys, give 1 second. I'm going to do his internet after this. But for anybody like in the chat in general, right? What I would say, like to be honest with you guys, like while he's getting back on, if you're trying to start a business in esports, this is what you do.
During our stream? Oh. The irony
of it, brother.
You might need to stay on the call right after this.
I got you, brother.
But I think we should be good now. Go ahead, keep going with whatever question you were answering.
Oh no, I was just telling the audience in general, because everybody likes to overthink stuff, like overthink things, right? And yeah. Everybody likes to be like a lot of what. Okay, let me start from the beginning. What I research like recently was just startups in general, and how do startups in like the natural like marketplaces in technology and stuff like that get like investments and stuff like that. And 99% of startups fail, not because they weren't like a good startup, it's just because they, one, the timing wasn't there, so there was like no need for it in like the market, and number two, they waited too long, again timing, to like actually get in the market. So like a lot of people think, oh, I can't like start YouTube now, I can't start Twitter now, like I can't start like any kind of business now because I'm in school, I'm doing this to the side. But honestly, like for young people like us, and even if you're like 50 years old still, like time is probably the most valuable asset that you have in life in general. Like we only got so much time in general. And if you like use that time for like exchange the time for value in yourself and investing in yourself, like anybody, I'm serious. Probably anybody could start a business if they really like wanted to. It's just that people never done it before. I thought it was like way harder to like start a business than like what I've actually experienced. So like people just don't do it because they're not like familiar with it. But for like anybody listening like at all, like it's just worth it. Like in general, just start something, start a little side hustle and expand it from there. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, find out why it doesn't work. Be open-minded about it and just evolve from there. You can never be like static with something. Because if you're static, if I was static like with internet stuff and network optimizations in general, I would have probably been like out of business already. Like so just being diverse, like investing in yourself and like your skills, that's probably the number one like thing I would like recommend to people.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we're talking about a little bit earlier, it might not pay off like the week after you start. Like I know you just said it wasn't as hard as you thought, but I think that's also because you love what you do.
Oh, that's
I think you're kind of understating it just a little bit. So when you hear that, don't think you're gonna start and 2 weeks later you're working with CDL champs. Like you still gotta work in it and get really, really, really good at your skill. And it might not even happen in 2 weeks. It won't happen in 2 weeks. I promise you that.
Yeah.
A few months, even a couple years. But if you use those skills, and it might not even happen in that one business. Like for example, I did nutrition stuff, like nutrition coaching for about 2.5 years. And that's actually where I learned a lot of my social media skills and marketing stuff. Mm-hmm. But now I'm applying it in a totally different field. But that time in nutrition wasn't a waste because it taught me what I'm doing now. So
I
just wanted to add that to that conversation.
Dude, literally, guess what my major was in college, or what my major is in college right now?
Is it nutrition?
It's biomedical. So I'm basically doing like I'm actually doing network optimizations, but I study like biomedical and like pharmaceutical benefits. Exactly. Yep. So literally like, and I'm really contemplating on just like taking a semester off and like just going full dive into the business just to see what happens, just to really invest in myself and just take a chance on myself, just take that risk. But literally what I've learned from like just pharmaceutical benefits in general and just helping people through that helps me tremendously in like optimizations and stuff, because from that what I learned was how to explain stuff to people in a simplistic manner. Because if you explain, like, you're only as good as how good you could communicate, like that's, and that's a huge thing like with content too. So if you can't communicate well, like, then it's, I mean, it's over. Like, that's why they need you there. So literally, like, just communicating in general is probably the number one tool, I would say, to any kind of business. And a lot of businesses, somebody told me this morning, I was asking like a client for feedback, right? And they said, always make like your businesses based on personal, just relationships and being just a human. Like, everybody's just human. And don't make it so transactional where it's like, okay, give me 250. I'm going to do this optimization. I'm not going to talk to you during this optimization. I'm not going to explain anything. Oh, your PC is optimized. Okay, we're done. Bye-bye. Like, you can't, if I tried it like that, dude, I would have literally been out of business probably like months ago. So just having just that personal relationship with everybody is really where the fun comes in. Like, to me in general, just to talk to people like me and people that are interested in this stuff, even if they don't know just the knowledge, they're still interested. That's why they bought it. Yeah. So just talking to them in general, that's really fun. And yeah, bro, like, just not making it so about the money. Cause what do you think about this? Like, I actually have a question for you. Is content a form of currency? Because money is a form of currency, right?
But do I've heard the saying attention is currency. I agree with that.
Oh, attention is definitely currency. Yeah.
I haven't thought about specifically content. I guess, I mean, you could argue that it is. I mean, if you're adding value through content, I would argue that it could be considered currency. I haven't really thought about that too in detail, though.
Yeah, because content, I feel like if you... Because I feel like content's made to, like, gain people's, like, attention in general. If you don't have their attention, like, I don't know why you're making, like, content in general. You know what I mean? So, literally, like, content and attention, I feel like, go hand in hand. And it's actually getting to the point now where content and attention is more valuable than money itself. Like, in my opinion. So, for example, like, why is like Apple, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all the social medias so much more valuable than businesses like, well, I don't know, like oil businesses and stuff like that, which have actual products? It's because they know how to like obtain your attention. They know, it's literally like a laser beam to your brain, right? So they know exactly what content to bring to you. Yeah. And what's important to you in general. And that's why they're worth like $1 trillion or something like that. So that's really how I think about it in like my business. Just having, not really like, I'm not really focused on like people's attention and stuff like that, because you have to just be diverse. You can't focus on, let me clickbait this and stuff like that. You actually have to provide value. But just giving people like content and resources probably made me more money than just like doing optimizations in general. Because when you do content and like I post a post, right, about Warzone, for example, like a little tip that people wouldn't know, that would actually produce more monetary value to the end of it than me just being like, oh yeah, guys, like buy my internet optimization for this amount, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So like, I feel like it's getting to the point where, bro, literally, like, content's probably going to be the number one thing that your business is, like, reliant on. Like, every business that doesn't have, like, content, and that's why, like, I gotta listen to Don. I gotta like diverse and stuff like that. He's like killing me about that. But every business that doesn't have great content is probably gonna fail to the end of it. Probably 99% of, like, probably gonna fail unless they're like backed by something. But that's probably the most important like lesson I learned. Cause if I wasn't like producing content on Twitter, I wouldn't have as much followers as I do. I wouldn't have got as much business as I do in general. And enough like attention and stuff like that. So that's like a really interesting thing that I think a lot of people don't really like realize, but it's like kind of huge. Like you could really use it to your advantage, like if you did it like that.
Yeah, content is extremely important, especially if you're not paying for advertisements. Because if you're not getting attention via content, it's gonna be tough to grow a business if you got like your mom and your two best friends following you. Like that's it. You got to figure out a way to get more people involved in content, and specifically relevant content that your audience actually wants is the way to do that. And that's why I usually say, like, if you just want to make drawings and stuff and not sell it, cool. Like draw what you want or make videos about what you want, make TikToks about what you want. Mm-hmm. But don't complain when they don't get any views, when they don't get any shares, when they don't bring in any revenue. Like exactly. If that's if you're just doing it just to do it, cool. Like be my guest. I'm very jealous of you. I wish I was. Yep. But if you're trying to do something to get eyes on your content, you got to think more about like the psychology of how am I going to make this happen. So I totally agree with you on that. Now, in the growth of your business, as you've been gaining this momentum and getting mm-hmm. more and more clients, what would you say the biggest challenge or the biggest roadblock has been for you so far?
So this is where the downside of destination platforms start taking effect. Because like right now we're like building a website and it's almost finished. Like what we're trying to do is like just make it as easy in general just to purchase the product. But the mm-hmm. biggest probably downfall like right now, or the biggest like challenge that we have right now, is like you said earlier, we have like so much people that are like interested, but we don't have like enough. I need to hire like more staff or like just have yeah. more people on deck to be able to like respond to them and make the transactions happen. So that's probably like one of the biggest like things that is hindering me right now. Another thing is probably number two about destination platforms. Twitter has like a DM limit. So even if I like go all out and try to respond to as much people as possible, you could only be like as productive as Twitter's DM limit.
Even with just responding?
Even with just responding. Like literally that's the problem I run into now, because yeah. I like try to respond to people like as fast as possible, as instant as possible, as detailed as possible. But probably like 3 out of the 7 days of the week, I get like DM limited or like rate limited for Twitter, or like Twitter's like, oh, are you a bot? Like, so it's really a transition that we have to make that's huge with like mm-hmm. just creating a website, which we don't have like a limit like that. Or they don't have to like talk to someone for like a specified amount of time to be able to just like get in queue as fast as possible if they wanted to, you know what I mean? So just making it easy for them to even like get the optimizations is what we're really like focused on right now.
Yeah.
The second thing we're focused on is probably second hardest thing that we're focused on is probably just putting everything like making everything together. So like I watch like a lot of I don't know if you heard it. Have you ever heard of like Gary Tan?
The name rings a bell, but not mm-hmm. specifically.
So he's like a startup kind of guy. So he makes content on YouTube about like startups and stuff like that.
Okay.
And he has like a VC, so a venture capital, which invests in startups. And one thing that like he spoke about is just being diverse and being like as easy as a transition as possible, because he actually had a funny story, right? So I always remember this. At first, when he invested in Coinbase, right? Coinbase was extremely sketchy. You have to like go to Western Union, purchase like a thing, yeah. and just send it over to like India or somewhere, come back and get your Bitcoin. But it expanded to something like extremely large because they focused on making it easy for you to like obtain that and making it as smooth as possible with giving you like a best experience. So if I like go on Coinbase right now, put in my credit card, boom, purchase, boom, I got my Bitcoin, I got my value, and they teach you exactly like how to do it in return. So just like making it as easy as possible for people to like just obtain the optimizations is probably something that is really difficult, because it's so we have to basically like scale really fast, like faster than I expected. So yeah, that's probably like our biggest like downfall right now that we're like working on.
Got you. That's my mom's calling me. Yep. But yeah, so on that, like as you scale, do you ever see yourself kind of letting go of the reins a little bit and, like you said, bringing in a staff to do what you do now as far as optimizing PCs, optimizing the internet? And do you see that being a challenge for you to kind of let go of that a little bit and let go of a little bit of control?
It was at first, actually. Like at first, I was thinking small-minded. And my perspective was, oh, I can't let anybody have this information. Like, I have to all have it by myself. But now, like, since I've, like, grown into it, I'm always like, oh, yeah, I'll let you know exactly what I know as much as possible. Because to the end of the day, like, a lot of people care about their time. So a lot of people, like, pro players, for example, like you could tell them a lot of stuff to do, but to the end of the day, like they probably won't like make it into a business or something like that. They just want to do it for that one time to optimize their PC and boom, they're good to go. They're like focusing on their crafts. So in terms of staff, I've actually been like working on that recently, like a lot. So I've actually like hired a couple people to like do optimizations and stuff and like teach them the process along the way. And step by step, like first they start off on stream optimizations and PC optimizations and network optimizations, and they gain that skill invested in them along the way. And I'm not even like against it anymore. I actually love it. Like I actually love teaching them that. And it's actually great for the business as well, because in return, you don't have to wait as a client as long as just waiting for one person to do it with like thousands of people in queue or something like that. We actually have a staff that could automatically do it and probably like hire a programmer or something that could like automatically like put the queue list in there and just make the business transition easier. So literally, like I forgot like the most important important thing like about it is you can't do it like without a team. So literally we hire like a social media guy. We got like a streaming PC optimizer, and without my team, like I really couldn't even like be here today. So I'm just thanking them for that. And we even got like a graphics designer now that's like coming in and trying to like supply that aspect of the business. Yeah. And that's valuable as well. So literally just giving up control for the short term will actually, if you do it correctly, like you can't just be like, here's all this, go and do it. I don't care. That's it. You have to like actually care about them and actually see what they want in general. Because if they really want to learn it and really want to like adapt to it, to the end of the day, they're going to like actually like enjoy and want to expand like your business, and they're going to learn stuff on their own and bring it back. I've had that happen so many times. So that's like a key factor, like for sure. Just like expanding a team and like growing with a team. It's like family. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Definitely. Now, as far as like, what do you think separates Sense of Quality from any other PC optimization, stream optimization, network optimization? Like, what is, it's called like, quote unquote, your moat in business. Like, what's keeping people from just jumping over the moat and like kind of taking what you guys are doing and just doing the same thing?
So basically, I would say the first thing is, it really comes down to just the name. I feel like the name is the moat in general, a sense of quality, right? Because I explained to Don, right? Literally, I'm not focused on like technology in general. You know what I mean? Like, I'm focused on you in general. So basically what you sense, like all your senses, we're trying to optimize that. We're not trying to optimize like the actual technology. We're trying to make you as comfortable as possible, because with your happiness, that's where like actual value adds in.
Yeah.
Cause someone could optimize your PC, I believe. But if they don't tell you, like, let's say they optimize your PC, right? And they don't tell you, like, anything about it, and you don't learn, like, any information about it, like, then you're just going to be, after a time, if an update hits, oh, I don't know what to do. Like, I got to get another optimization from this guy, right? But what we do, literally, is we train our clients. Like, we literally train our clients how to do the optimizations themselves. So it's literally lifelong. And it's not just like, oh, I got to get it here. I got to get it in 3 months. I got to get it in another 3 months. No, we train you lifelong. So you have that value lifelong. That's what you're paying for. So that I feel like we like have as an advantage over like our competitors. And another advantage is like we, as we were discussing earlier, like we're not scared to tell you like exactly like what we do. We'll literally, we'll teach you like what we do. We're not scared to like hold, we're not going to hold like any secret information back from you. It has like sometimes where I would actually like admit mistakes. For example, like someone, we would have a router and I'll be like, yo, you know what? Like this router is actually defective. And instead of me just saying, oh yeah, your router's defective, let me just go ahead and go. Like you have to buy a new one and that's it. Instead of me doing that, my approach is, okay, your router's defective. This is what we're going to do. You're going to get one for this exchange. I'm going to tell you the loophole for your internet service provider to provide you that new router. And then from that, you get a free router. Plus, I'll come back, I'll optimize it for you. And then you're good in general to the end of it. So just providing them that knowledge and just providing them just extended knowledge in a whole, like we just try to provide as much value. We try to give out more value than we're taking, like than you're paying us for. You know what I mean? So literally it's some optimizations get so crazy that I promise you, we literally had the internet director of a internet service provider of like New York working closely, like with a top streamer to fix his internet. Like that's how like all out we go. So literally we don't stop until you're completely perfect, your internet's perfect, any material, any like senses that you have is perfect in general. So that's where like the quality for us comes in, and that's what like really separates us from the rest.
Love that. What's the longest optimization you've been a part of,
dude? It was probably, I would say, a good 2 days in general, because it's actually the longest optimization was probably Golden Boy. He used to be like a Call of Duty broadcaster, right? And his internet was like going out, it was skipping. So most network optimization guys or like network gurus and stuff like that, they would just stop at the router, right? And they would think, oh, it has to be your router. What I did, because I'm a type of guy, like, I don't like losing, or I don't like ending up at the end of the optimization with you still having the same problem as before. I hate that. Like, that's literally, like, that triggers me. So, what we did was, I'm like, okay, let me check your router. Boom, it's not the router. We made, like, problems for the router itself and, like, produced problems. At the end, we made sure, like, it wasn't a router in general. We checked like the gateway for him, which is like the modem, like behind a router. We had like a tech guy come out, do that, check it. And the tech guy, of course, they're always like, there's no like problem like in this. And I went so far into it that I had legit proof for him and documentation to show the tech guy. So once they're like, oh yeah, it's perfectly fine, what are you talking about? He's always like, oh, here you go. Here's the information. Here's this. So this is actual proof. So once they see that, and once you put in that much effort, internet service providers, like they have to fix it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it actually got all the way up from like the network engineers. We were literally talking to network engineers to The board of directors of like the internet service provider, like it was crazy, man. But to the end, I believe he got it sorted out, but that took like a couple of days in general. But literally, we'll go that far. We'll go that far just to make sure everything's taken care of.
And I think that's the perfect like explanation as to why you guys are so successful. I think most people, like you said earlier, you are looking to sort of streamline it to some extent, but not so much that you sacrifice time spent on actually like providing the service for the client. You're like, oh, it's taking more than X amount of time. We're out. Sorry. See you later. And you're sitting there for 2 days talking to person to person to person trying to figure this out. So I think that in and of itself, and the fact that you're solving a very clear, very painful problem, it's a no-brainer as to why sense of quality is blown up the way it has.
And what I try to think of it as, I forgot where I got this from. How I modeled like the business in general, like my economics in general was, I'm not trying to make it about optimizations. It's about like the experience. Like if you don't have a great experience, then there's no point. Because even if I do like give you the data and provided you all this stuff, you wouldn't know how to probably use it, and you would probably be like, oh, I don't see like a difference. But giving them that experience, giving them like education in general, and just going them knowing that you will do nothing, like you would do nothing, you would do everything in your power to make sure that they're good, it helps in the long run. It's probably the number one thing in the long run that like we were like successful about, and probably why we're still here. Because a lot of businesses, they always look for short-term gain. And yeah, short-term gain's great, but it hurts you in the long run. Because I could easily go right now, take out 100 optimizations, 30 minutes each, never talk to the client, and just be like, oh, you're done, here's the data, goodbye. But doing that process, first of all, it's not fun. Like I won't have like fun doing it. I won't enjoy it. Second of all, it's not giving them that experience that they wanted and that like guarantee that they wanted. So like sacrificing that monetary value definitely like pays off in the long run, in my opinion.
Love that. And then before we get into the last little piece, I definitely want to bring up SBMM and talk about that a bit for anyone who might not know your take on that. But I want to ask you, like, how is it balancing everything you have going on with your business in school? Because like for me right now, I'm pretty early on in terms, like I don't have any clients I'm working. I'm more so just creating content. I have my day job that I do along with school, so I have that. But I can't even imagine doing what you're doing at the scale that you're doing it at, along with taking, I think you said biomedical, was it biomedical engineering or
Biomedical
biomedicine?
sciences, yep.
Biomedical sciences. I can't imagine doing that. How do you make that happen?
So basically, the thing is, I had to learn a whole, oh my gosh, the amount of time management, like information and knowledge I had to learn was extremely crazy. Like me looking back at myself a year ago, I was not like the same person today. Like my time was just literally like wasted on just the littlest stuff. And if I just had just the amount of like knowledge I know about time today, then oh man, I would have been like crazy. But literally, I feel like the biggest thing that it was is just like, of course, like managing your time and trying to like merge them together. So like I kind of use like my optimizations, of course, like with the experience, as like a psychological like aspect, and learn like psychological like natures of people. And that's actually like really interesting, like when you get into biomedical and stuff like that. So for example, for like psychology, it's extremely easy for me because I actually like enjoy studying it, watching like videos about it, and like merging it and using it in my optimizations, as it just pays off. Like it's a win-win. I like learn it for school, and I learn it for like psychology and stuff, and I learn it for my like business. So literally, like they pay off, but it's gonna come to a point in time where I have to like make a huge decision where, oh, do you want to like go to medical school, or do you want to like go full out crazy like on this business? Because you can't do You
Yeah,
literally
after
can't do
graduating
both.
from med school, that's a whole different
Yeah, that's a whole different beast right there. So I'm gonna have to make that decision soon, and hopefully, like, I figure it out. But still, I'm like contemplating like each to see like what it is. But whichever one I love the most, I'm gonna stick to. And yeah, man. So literally, like, time management is probably like the number one thing, and just like merging them together to make sure like you're growing together too. So yeah, that's it.
Definitely. Definitely. Now, the topic everyone wants to hear about. The topic everyone wants us to dive into, skill-based matchmaking. I don't even know what question to ask. It's just like there's so much to dive into here. But just kind of explain from the top down, what is going on here? What does skill-based matchmaking actually impact in the game?
Actually, this is a great economics topic. Okay, so skill, this is a great... So I can make it like... Okay, so basically... I always looked at it. Everybody looks at skill-based matchmaking, right? From like a player standpoint and just like their personal standpoint. Yeah. But I look at it from like the developer standpoint, the player standpoint, the client standpoint, Activision standpoint in general. Basically, what skill-based matchmaking is, it's really like optimized engagement optimized matchmaking. So that's what it is. And it's made to have you on as long as possible. So even if you're mad, for example, like even if you're like, oh dude, I'm getting like the bad lobbies, like I'm literally like getting smoked every lobby, what's gonna happen is instead of you decreasing in match, what they're gonna do is instead of you sticking in those lobbies, so let's say your skill level is like right here and you sticking in those lobbies, you're going to downcrease that lobby for about 2 or 3 games. And then you're going to be like, okay, like I'm starting to get a rhythm. One more game.
Yeah.
Just that one more game feeling. So having that one more game feeling, what does that do from like a developer's perspective? That keeps you on the game longer over time. And they focus on something called churn rate. What churn rate is the amount of players that stop like playing the game versus the amount of players on the game in general, the player base in general. Yep. So if they have a great churn rate, they're going to make more money. So from a business standpoint, if you have people on longer, what's going to happen? They're going to be on your servers longer. They're going to buy more microtransactions, and they're just going to in general like stick to or get kind of addicted to the game in general longer. Because a lot of people, they're like, oh, I hate skill-based matchmaking. I hate like going against tryhards and stuff like that. But ask them if they hate skill-based matchmaking. They're going to say yes. Ask them if they're going to play tomorrow. They're probably going to say yes. And ask them if they're going to buy the next Call of Duty next year. They're going to say yes. So literally, like, it's really in, like, it's genius. Like, really, when I look at it, because I looked at it like from the overall standpoint, it makes just sense. Like, of course a business is going to like try to have you try to gain the most money. Like, that's what Activision's for. They're a business to the end of the day. They're not like trying to like just have the most fun or stuff like that. Of course they in general, like, they care about your experience. Of course they do. But they're trying to the end of the day, make as much money as possible. Like, that's what it's about in a business. So it really makes sense. And it's kind of like, I kind of feel bad for the developers, because everybody's making the mistake, right? And this is huge. Stop adding the developers. Like, stop messaging the developers. They have no control over this. Like, it's literally people that are probably smarter than me that are doing this algorithm and matching it up with business or marketing people to make this happen, and developers are forced to implement this in their game. Like, literally, like, if the developers had a choice, they would rather you have fun and you leave a good feedback rather than like you yell at them about like skill-based matchmaking and stuff like that. And that's a huge thing that people don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, you could yell at developers all you want, but the thing that's horrible about it is they can't say anything back to you, because if they did, like, of course they would lose their job, and literally, like, they have a family to feed, you know what I mean? And to the end of the day, if you do that multiple times, right, Activision or like any kind of business who are they going to put the blame on? They could be like, oh, okay, let's just put the blame on these guys, furlough these guys, and bring in some new guys. And that is called, like, churn in, like, just a business in general. And their churn rate is going to be high. So you doing that is not only going to, like, impact, like, your experience even worse, it's going to, like, impact everybody else's. You know what I mean? So literally the developers that wanted you to have a great game, like, they're not going to be there in, like, years to come. Yeah. You know what I mean? By you doing that. So really, like, what COD players have to... This is, like, the thing for, like, Call of Duty players that we have to focus on, and gamers in general, in esports or in any kind of, like, streaming or anything. We have to focus on, like, having, like, different perspectives and looking at things, like, outside the box, right? Because if you look at it just from your perspective, you'll never, like, get the answer that way. I learned, like, I'll never get the answer by looking at it from an optimizing perspective. Like, you have to look at it from the whole picture. And once you look at it from the whole picture, that's when, like, you can make a difference. Because if people knew, oh, I don't at the developers, I'm going to at the people, I'm going to figure out, go to LinkedIn, go to see who, like, matches the algorithms, go to see the business guy that does this and presents this information. Because if you look on Activision CEO's, like, his, literally his actual Twitter states that, oh, we just made this much, like, how much millions of dollars, like, from this, like, yeah, matching this algorithm or whatever. And guess how much comments had a comment about skill-based matchmaking negatively? Zero. Guess how much comments on David Vonderhaar's, like, his actual, like, Twitter feed has negative comments on skill-based matchmaking? Millions. So literally people are just, like, in the wrong place. What I would, if you want skill-based matchmaking to be outside the game, go to my Twitter, go to see how to do bot lobbies. And what that does is reverse engineer the skill-based matchmaking. So at the end of it, like, everybody's going to be in the same playing field and they'll have to take it out and they'll take the API out as well. That's why I posted it. I didn't post it, like, for people to, like, actually use it. It actually reverse engineers it, like, at the end of it. So it solves that problem. But the main way to do it is go to, like, go to LinkedIn. They literally have all their employees public. You'll see exactly who it is. It's probably, like, an algorithm guy, algorithm software engineer, or, like, some business type of guy, and complain to them about the skill-based matchmaking. And I promise you, you'll have 10 times the results that we currently have, because people, even pro players, have been complaining about it. And guess what? They've been getting fined and nothing has happened yet. So that's, like, the real way to, like, tackle it.
Bro, that's definitely going to be a clip. I'm even debating making that an entire YouTube video.
That could be a YouTube video.
How to stop skill-based matchmaking. I love that. I love the whole LinkedIn move. That's such a big brain move.
Yeah, that's literally 100 IQ. Bro.
That's the one reason why I might actually use LinkedIn.
Literally,
that,
like,
that platform is just...
Exactly. You can learn a lot.
I don't like
to
hate on it, but it's just... I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. All right, then. Now, before we wrap it up, I do need to ask you one more question. This is arguably the most important question. Maybe you've heard me ask this question before. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. It's still important. Do you drink coffee? And if so, how do you drink your coffee?
I do drink coffee. And I drink pure black, like Cuban coffee, like Oricorn Leche.
I'm actually half Cuban. You probably don't believe it, but I am.
What? Really?
I swear to God, 50%.
Dude, Cubans make the best coffee. I don't care what anybody says. They make the best coffee, man. And literally, like, if I'm doing, like, a regular coffee, it has to be probably hot to me, like, in my opinion. And I have to have, like, 3 or 4 shots in it. But I got to stop. Don't drink coffee, guys. Don't drink coffee. Like, it's really bad for you.
I respect it. Personally, I'm a cold brew guy. Mostly... The real reason is because, like, it just doesn't mess with my stomach. Like, I have a super sensitive stomach. And
it doesn't?
Not a good look. So, I mean, what I found, cold brew is fine. And it has cold more caffeine. Fine. So, that's always a plus. But if I were to drink hot coffee, I would definitely go your route. That I respect that. The only answer I legitimately just, I hope I never hear on this podcast is iced coffee. Iced coffee is just...
I don't know how people do it.
It's watered down. And if people actually like regularly listen to the show, they're probably tired of me saying this. I say it on like every episode when we have this conversation, but it's true. Like there's literally no reason to drink it.
Literally, don't they like fill the ice with like this much? Like they fill like the cup with this much ice or something like that? It really is watered down though. Yeah, you're right.
It's not good. Camille, I appreciate you hopping on the show. This was a fun conversation, and honestly could probably keep going for a couple more hours. So we're definitely gonna have to do a round two at some point. Before we hop off here, where can everyone keep up with what you're doing? Where's the best place to inquire about an optimization? Because if you're not even interested after hearing this entire conversation, I don't know what you're listening to, so you probably get in line for that. Where's the best place to find that?
So the best place to inquire about an optimization is following Sense of Quality on Twitter and actually going to our links and filling out the form. Join our Discord and ping us there. We actually have a ticket support system, or you can just follow the Twitter and DM us and we'll like literally respond to you and get you done as soon as possible. If you wanted to follow me, my name is just Kerneill on Twitter, KirneiLL. I know it's complicated, but that's my name on Twitter, YouTube, and basically like all my social media platforms. So if you wanted to follow me there, it's also in my like link tree on my Twitter. So you can find all like my information there.
Cool. Perfect. So the Sense of Quality Twitter is on the screen right now, and your Twitter is right below your camera. It's a little small, but I think they can see it. Yep. If you guys are listening on audio, those links will be in the show notes below. So definitely check those out. I would highly recommend following Kerneill and Sense of Quality on Twitter. I mean, I've learned a ton. I'm not a huge like internet optimization guy. I don't know what's going on, but I know a little bit more now after following you. So definitely check those links out. And if you guys enjoyed this and you found it valuable at all, I'd appreciate you retweeting this if you're seeing it on your Twitter feed. If you're listening on audio, definitely share the link on your Twitter timeline or with a friend directly, however you want to do that. I would really appreciate that, but only if you found it valuable, only if you learned something, only if you enjoyed it. If you did, definitely share. That's the best way to say, quote unquote, thank you for anything you might've learned in today's episode. But guys, I appreciate you tuning in. Kerneill, I appreciate you stopping by. We will see you guys in the next episode.